Hey everyone, welcome to Foes and Fables, an actual play D&D podcast, and we're here with something very special, a Sphyros mini-series entitled Hiatus. Do you need to spit out your gum?
Yeah, I just realized that. I was like chewing the gum into the mic, and I'm like, oh,
you
shit.
You can just go throw it.
Now I'm like, what the fuck just do I do with
you? Can just go toss it real quick.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
No, this is funny. I'll throw this in at the end. Yeah, I will.
Welcome to Foes and Fables, everybody. Today's episode is sponsored by Five Gum.
What is the slogan? It's like...
how it feels to chew five gum.
Stimulate your senses. Yeah. Okay.
That's brilliant.
Anyway, yeah. This is Sphyros, and it's a miniseries entitled Hiatus. A reminder to you all, these episodes will be split into stories for each individual character. In Sphyros, those characters being Scooter, Leon, and Laszlo, the Cabin 3 guys. Only the Cabin 3 guys. This is a new thing for the majority of us, including myself. Tanner is the only one to do the one-on-one session thing, other than Zach, but he will not be participating, as far as you know, in this. Yeah, I'm here with a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. It's very good to be here. My name's David Beeman, and I'm playing Scooter once again. Back here, back at it again.
He's already getting into
Same old thing.
Yeah. That's great. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited to do this. A disclaimer before we head into this is that this does follow the events of Arc 3 chronologically. So if you're for some reason confused, it's because you maybe haven't listened to Sphyros, and I recommend you do so if you haven't already before listening to this miniseries. But it's going to be great, and I can't wait to jump into it. And obviously, because David Beeman is here, this is Hiatus Scooter. Let's jump into it. The sound of crackling fat on a greased pan tickles the eardrum of the waking gnome. A cracking egg spills onto the hot pan, breaking into a swirl of amber and white. A gnomish man, portly and happy, is cooking breakfast in a modest stone kitchen. The air of morning is brisk and invigorating as it wafts through an oxygen stimulator machine, whirring and thwapping on the ceiling. The gnomish man places plates on a small table with one hand as he absent-mindedly scratches at the neon green prickly hairs growing from his face. He grunts and lets out a short sneeze. From around the corner, a tired voice replies, "Bless you." A gnomish woman, finding her steps, slowly enters the room, beautifully tired, her hair dark brown with one gray streak framing her waking face. "You're up earlier than I thought you'd be, but I'm ready all the same." "Well, he woke me up," as she gestures to her stomach. "He refuses to let me sleep any longer than he does." "Ah, well, the food's ready. Come sit." The gnomish man pulls out a small chair from the table for his wife to sit. They enjoy their breakfast together. "We're actually just about done with the school, by the way. I've just got to install the OSM system, and it'll be ship-shaped for students to learn safely. These oxygen inefficiencies have been hitting our craters much harder of late." "Well, I'm glad to hear it. It's hard knowing by the time this one's in school, it could be worse. His pilgrimage couldn't come soon enough, and he's not even out in front of me yet." The man pushes his chair out and stands. I know. "The answer will be more clear when he's in front of us." He gathers the dishes and returns to the woman, laying his hand on her shoulder. "You gotta wonder what it's like down there now. It's been so long." "I'm sure it'll fare better than here by the time he's there." He lays a gentle kiss on her head as they look out their small slit of a window. A singular star a singular planet. Four moons. Sphyros. Scooter, you awake and are surrounded by panels of wood, jittering and shaking, and you lay in a pile of dog bones. Not the most comfortable bed, but the best way for you to be smuggled into a familiar location known as the Canine Plains. It's been a rough journey, a couple months in length, as you feel the thump of your box hit grass. Boom, boom. A rhythmic hitting on top of your box is your signal.
I'm under a box.
You're
right?
In
okay,
one.
I'm inside of a box.
You're in a box on top of a bunch of dog bones.
Okay. is let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Where is Lil Scoot?
Oh, he's like
is he with me in the box?
Yeah, you're like kind of hunched
I'm
over.
I'm picturing like a tiny box.
Oh yeah, it's very small. You're small too, but like it's cramped in here. Like you're surrounded by bones, and Lil Scoot is here.
Okay.
And he's kind of in your lap, just kind of looking up at you in the dark. But your eyes have adjusted. You've been in this box for a long time, and you can see each other vaguely.
Okay. I very slowly open one of the flaps of the box and peer outside.
Yeah, you can do so, and you see sunshine. It's so, so bright. But the thumping on the box was kind of your signal, like, hey, we dropped you off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I see whoever it was that dropped me off?
No. You hear a boat behind you kind of chugging away.
Okay.
And the sound is getting lighter and lighter as you can sense that it's going away from you.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Little Scoot. We're here.
Lil Scoot kind of just looks up at you and nods.
It's time for us to move on.
His eyebrows furrow and looks like very serious, lets a grin.
I open the box and step out, and you see a hardened, weathered Scooter.
Yeah, describe yourself.
I've got like a 5 o'clock shadow going. I've got like dark circles under my eyes.
Oh yeah, it's been such a rough ride.
My hair is all frazzled. I step out of the box and crack my back. Lil Scoot does the same.
Oh yeah,
he doesn't
absolutely.
Have a back, but.
Yeah, but just kind of mimics you. No sound emits from his cracking of his back.
I pull out a broken shard of mirror from my backpack and hold it up so I can see my face. I pull out my toothbrush and I brush all my teeth, sans the one missing tooth from which Lil Scoot came. I spit out the toothpaste. I pull out my flask of grave juice.
Damn.
And I rinse with the grave juice.
Oh my God, you're using grave juice?
And I look at Lil Scoot and I'm like, let's get a move on. And I start wandering forward.
Cool. Yeah, as you're walking forward, it feels great to be out in open air. Back when you were in Hub, the guys and you devised a plan that you would just be shipped and smuggled because it wasn't a good idea for you to go back through the Tomb Forest and through Nabrasina, a place where you're public enemy number one. Hub used a shipment and just kind of smuggled you to Canine Plains, past the Elemental Isles and below Camp Dingo Bingo,
okay,
which you can actually see in the distance. It's very, very, very far away, but you can see sand dunes kind of rolling over the hills to the north. And then in front of you, you see the Canine Plains. And, you know, it's just as you remember it. Green grass, warm breeze. The air that fills your lungs is just so sterile and clean. And then your stomach growls and you realize you've been eating bones for the last couple months.
I look at Lil Scoot. And just for a moment, I think about how hungry I am. And then I change my mind and keep going.
That's amazing. Little Scoot kind of like eyes you from the side a little strangely. And he's like, since he's a tooth, like... he kind of like, I've always imagined him like, he doesn't have like real eyes.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like impressions,
mm-hmm.
like on the teeth that look like eyes, and they move like eyes, but they're just like indents. And
yeah, totally.
They eye you from the side, and little Scoot kind of like brushes off himself and kind of continues to walk with you. Make a perception check for me.
Can I use my special die?
No, you may not use your special die. We're
here,
everybody.
You have no idea how long I've been waiting to say that.
We're here.
Perception? That's a 4.
Wow, great start. Before you know it, a Weimaraner kind of crashes over you and just kind of knocks you over. And it's sniffing you, like, super hard as you're prone under it. And it has a little piece of parchment attached to its collar.
Okay. I grab the parchment paper and try to get up and get a little bit of, like, healthy space from the dog. I won't say distance, but
yeah,
healthy space.
Okay, you take the parchment. The dog kind of, like, lets you up, but it is, like,
okay.
kind of, it's feeling playful. And it
sure
kind of pushes you back down a little bit. But you you get your bearings and
I don't
you
feel threatened
up.
By this dog.
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. Okay.
No. It's got a friendly face.
Cool.
And yeah, it looks very cute.
I pet the dog.
The dog loves it. It licks your hands. And you read this parchment, and it says, "Long time no see. Follow this in to the coop. Could be a long trip, though, so the dog should have a bit of food for you." And then it says, "Flannel."
Little Scoot, can you read this for me? I don't know how to read.
Is that real?
That's canon.
That's real? Scooter can't read?
I don't remember.
Well, it is now.
Let's say
Scooters went through years of education and never learned how to read. Yeah, let's do that. That is now canon. You said it. It's happening for sure. So...
I'm sure that like contradicts so many things that have already happened.
Oh yeah, but you know what? This episode is about you, so we're learning a lot about you.
Wow. I just really messed myself up for all future things. Now I'm not gonna be able to read.
Tanner is gonna be so mad. You're gonna be in a situation by yourself later, somehow, where you need to be able to read.
This is Scooter's arc. This is why we're here for hiatus. This is Scooter learns how to read.
Yeah, will Scooter learn how to read. This is going amazingly so far.
Can I maybe surmise, based on the dog's expression and behavior, that I should follow it?
Yeah, let's say...
I mean, I got a note from a friendly dog.
Yes, the dog is... no check required. The dog's kind of like... going away from you a little bit, but keeps looking back.
It's like beckoning.
Like it's looking for you to follow.
Okay.
And also, Lil Scoot takes this parchment and looks up at you, and as Lil Scoot can't speak, they can't relay what's on...
But Lil Scoot can read?
I'm gonna say it, yes. Lil Scoot can read. Which means Scooter's teeth have more literacy capability than himself.
Oh my gosh.
We're gonna go with that. We're gonna run with that. But since Scooter's Lil Scoot can't speak, he can't relay any of the note to you. But I'll say you also. Well, let's do this. Make another perception check.
All right. 9.
Okay. Well. Even with a 9, I think you would still notice there was like a bag attached to this Weimaraner.
Oh, okay.
That looks like it's kind of shredded and ripped.
Mm.
But if you peer in there, there's just a single granola bar that okay. you could eat.
I peer over at Lil Scoot again. I think about it. And then I decide to eat the granola bar instead.
You're so merciful. You eat this granola bar and Lil Scoot eyes you again. watching you very closely this time. And the dog continues to walk. This dog continues to walk and walk and walk. And you kind of take in the scenery. Like, the plains are as beautiful as you remember them, like I said. This is kind of like Hub has a very normal day and night cycle. But it's a city, so, you know, it's smoggy. It doesn't quite have the fresh air or atmosphere to really, I don't know, give a person life. So this is probably the best you've felt other than your hunger.
You smell that, little Scoot? Neither do I.
Little Scoot, like, does a laughing gesture.
Just a gesture.
Yeah, like, nothing, like, emits from him, but he's, like, bouncing as if he were laughing. But you follow this dog for hours and hours, and it becomes nighttime. And this dog still hasn't really gotten you anywhere, but you can tell that the dog is getting tired. It's panting a lot, and it just lays down. And you're in the middle of, like, an open meadow, mm-hmm. in the middle of the night with no one to really talk to other than Lil Scoot and this dog. But you're starting to get tired yourself.
Okay.
So now is probably a good time for you to set up shop. Okay. The dog seems pretty tired, but he grabs this little orb from his collar with his mouth and he places it down. It lets out this warm red glow as if to simulate a campfire for you, but it does not provide any warmth.
Okay.
The world is your oyster.
Do I still have my box?
No, it was a fairly large crate that you were in.
Oh, okay.
So, unless you wanted to somehow, like, grab a piece of it and bring it with you, I don't know why you would, but that can be up to you, and I can let you do that in retrospect.
Okay, no box.
No box.
Got a fire. I, take my bag off, set it down, make sort of like a makeshift little, like, sort of like a bed kind of area, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit in front of the fire. I pull a harmonica out of my bag and I start playing sad cowboy harmonica music.
Roll performance, please.
No way, my first good roll. That's an 18.
Oh, wow. This is a really important moment. Yeah, Scooter, we're learning a lot about you today. You can't read, but you can play the harmonica so well. You let out this, like, cowboy tune that just kind of brings warmth to you, Lil Scoot, and this Weimaraner. And you guys kind of lay down to rest. And I'll give you a little inspiration for that.
Oh, let's go. Thank you.
Yes, that'll come in handy, I'm sure. Anything else you would like to do before you lay down to rest?
No. I think I'm all good. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think I set up sort of a little identical, like, super tiny little mm-hmm. bed area for yeah. Lil Scoot kind of yeah. next to me. And does the pup look warm? The pup looks okay. Is it, like, cold out?
It's, like, brisk, but okay. it's not cold, and the dog's got fur.
Okay, I just wanted yeah. to, you know, if there was anything I could do for the pup, but I guess we're all set then. I think the three of us have a hopefully restful sleep out in the middle of this huge, giant plain, completely out in the open and not protected by anything in any sort of way.
Do you have any thoughts to yourself about your quote-unquote mission of gathering the data needed for the Canine Plains and its surrounding areas?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. It's definitely on my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of being alone, I guess, like, as far as not really being able to have a conversation with anyone. Like, I can talk at Lil Scoot, but yeah. we can't, like, converse.
Yeah, so it's more of, like, an internal dialogue kind of
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of having a moment of introspection where I'm reflecting on Sphyros, the pilgrimage,
And I'm also looking up at the stars. Like, I imagine it's like, I'm imagining a clear sky with
absolutely clear sky,
a breathtaking view of the stars.
Yes.
I'm looking up there and I'm thinking about my family. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my parents and how things are going way up there, on our moon. And I sort of, I guess, think myself to sleep. I'm just kind of reflecting and thinking and, eventually sort of, you know, sway myself to sleep.
You drift off into sleep and you kind of drearily open your eyes to find yourself in somewhat new-looking classroom. You look down at your hands and they look smaller, and you kind of look over to your left and there's a window, and you're 7 years old. Would you please describe yourself as a 7-year-old, Scooter?
So, I look, my hair is very neatly combed. I'm wearing a polo shirt, mm-hmm. With all the buttons all the way up, tucked in very, very tight.
Not so proper.
And you know those shorts that you sometimes see, like, if you, like, prep school kid, like, you know, like, the sort of, like, fancy, like, uniform shorts.
Yeah, totally.
That, like, little kids wear, uh-huh. like, they're a little bit above the knee.
Yeah.
I'm, like, wearing those. They're, like, super nice and pleated.
Of course.
I've sort of got, like, shorter socks on, and then, like, a nice pair of, like, I guess, sort of casual, like, loafer-esque sort of shoes.
Wow, yeah.
I'm, like dressed up, like a very, like, proper prep school kid.
Yeah.
Like, you would just, like, picture, like, a young kindergartner sort of dressed up at, like, a nicer school.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, you're dressed to the nines, ready to be educated. But you never learn how to read. In front of you, you see a Loxodon teacher, an elephant person. As they scribble harshly on the chalkboard, they've written detention in capital letters, and they swiftly underline it with their trunk. The Loxodon snuffs out,
"Now everyone quiet. I don't want to hear a peep. I'll be reading my stories, and I will dismiss you when detention is over."
And he kind of slumps down in his chair and kind of picks up this newspaper and just snaps it open.
I raise my hand.
He peers over the newspaper.
"Yes, Scooter.
I have to go to the bathroom." I have to go to the bathroom.
You had 20 minutes.
I have to go to the bathroom.
I
cannot be unsupervised.
If there's anything I've learned about you, it's that you can't be unsupervised. I'll come with you. The rest of you, stay put.
And you look to your left and your right. And to your left, you see a somewhat skinnier child with bright pink hair. And to your right, a gangly-looking creature, one half fur, one other half skin. And they kind of just turn in their seats, kind of look at their desks. The gangly one kind of scratching into the desk, writing, like, "School is for chumps." And the other pink-haired child very attentively looking at the Loxodon teacher and not really moving much at all and breathing very consistently and well. The Loxodon teacher kind of gestures to you with its trunk to follow him.
I try to hold his hand.
He grabs your hand with his trunk.
Okay.
And...
did you say the name of the teacher?
No, I didn't.
What's the teacher's name?
Mr. Chump.
Mr. Chump?
Yes, Scooter.
Where do babies come from?
Let's go to the bathroom. They don't come from the bathroom, though, if that's what you're thinking.
He kind of walks you to the bathroom. And he leads you to it, and obviously he doesn't come into the stall with you. He says,
here, relieve yourself. I'll be just waiting out here.
Okay. Am I in the bathroom by myself, or is he in there with me just outside the stall?
I'll say Mr. Chump didn't enter the bathroom.
Cool.
And he kind of led you in there.
But as soon as I get in there, I would like to look around for some sort of vent, or is it like a drop panel ceiling that I could get into?
Yeah, totally. Cool. In this time. Yeah.
I want to climb up sort of like, you know how like stalls sort of are with like the walls and I want to try and climb up to the top of the stall and pop open one of the panels in the drop ceiling and climb up into the ceiling.
Okay. Let's do a series of checks. To get up there, let's do an athletics check. Just use your real stats that you have.
Okay.
Make an athletics check. What'd you get?
It's a nat one.
You like position yourself by the sinks to get like a leg up, and you go to jump to grab and push out this panel, and you slip on some water on the sink and just smash right on your face. And you hear from outside like,
"Everything okay in there? What are you? Are you all right?"
I'm okay. Just, I had a lot to eat last night.
Right. Okay. Just, hurry it up.
Okay.
I'll let you try again.
Okay.
Yes.
Are there any, air vents or anything, closer to the floor where I wouldn't have to climb?
I'll say, yeah. Let's say, yes, there's totally one that you could reach by the sink with a nice little jump. The DC will be lower because it's easier to access.
Okay.
But this time, make an acrobatics check.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's a 14?
14, yeah, that'll do it. You kind of wipe the water off your face and dirt and kind of fix your hair up a little bit again. And then
not being supervised.
Oh yeah.
Since I'm unsupervised.
Yes.
I like tussle my hair, mess it up, untuck my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
In this vision, you're seeing something that looks a little more familiar.
Yeah.
For Scooter.
Okay, great. You don't fix your hair. In fact, you take some of the water and mess it up even more. And then you jump on the sink and get to the air vent. It's just one of the latch vents. There's no bolts or anything, so you can get inside and you crawl up inside this air vent. Where are you going from here?
I start crawling through the air vent. Am I able to close that latch behind me? So, if they were to come into
roll luck check.
Okay. If they were to come in, would they be like, oh, he's in the vents, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to sort of be able to hide my tracks.
Yeah. Roll luck check.
That's a 5. I'm not going to roll in the cardboard anymore. I'm going to roll on the table and see if that magically helps.
A 5 won't cut it. The latches, the slits in the vent aren't even wide enough for your small fingers to get through.
Okay.
And you can't relatch it.
Okay.
But you're free to roam through the vents. Where are you headed?
I want to... I want to find a way to the principal's office. Or the administration area. Specifically where the intercom for the announcements are.
Great. You've been going to school here for a bit. You would know which direction to go, so I'm not even going to have you roll anything specific for you to find your way there. You would know that it's in the admin office, or kind of the front office of the school, where like the main secretary is, and you crawl through these vents and it's kind of hot and you're wiping sweat from your head and just kind of crawling through these vents. But you fit fine. Like, you're so small and these vents are definitely spacious enough for you to maneuver your way through them. And you kind of are crawling and you see some light from a vent that comes from below you, and you can see the admin office below you.
Okay, is there anyone in there?
No.
Okay. I want to get down there.
Okay, yeah. It's not a far jump. You would be able to lift this vent open and then probably get a nice little jump to a desk. It might be a little loud, but if you want to roll a stealth check, I'll let you do that.
First, I take off my shoes.
Okay, great.
So I make less noise when I fall.
Roll with advantage.
Oh my goodness, I'm just having a terrible day. This was a stealth?
Yeah.
Thank goodness I have a decent modifier. That's a 12.
Okay, a 12? A 12 will do it.
Thank goodness.
You kind of just lift this vent open and jump on out, and your bare feet kind of just smack against the wood of this desk, and everything kind of shakes a bit, but you stick a landing, and nothing really falls off the desk or anything, and the intercom is just to the right of this desk, and it is open, and no one is monitoring it.
Oh, no. I didn't think I'd get this far. Neither did Scooter. I get on the intercom and I press it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm imagining like that loud squealing feedback sound.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Mr. Chump to the principal's office. Mr. Chump to the principal's office.
We flash over to Mr. Chump, and he's like, and
so he leaves me behind.
He like starts stomping away to the principal's office. Let me roll something for him real quick. He knows it's you.
Oh no. Okay.
Mr. Chump to the detention room. Mr. Chump, go back to the detention room.
I'm gonna roll something again for him. He is trudging on. You can hear each step getting louder and louder as he is a loxodon.
Okay. So front office, it's got to be close to the exit of the school, right?
Totally.
Okay. Here's what I would like to do.
Okay.
I would like to open the door to the front office.
Yeah.
And then I would like to open the front door of the school and then run back into the front office.
Okay.
Press the intercom again. Say,
"You'll never catch up to me."
And then I want to hide under that desk.
Okay, cool. Great, yeah.
I'm trying to bait them into thinking I ran out of the school.
Into running out of the school, yeah, totally. Cool, I'm going to roll something for him again. Bro, Mr. Chump is going hard.
This isn't good.
I rolled a natural 20.
Oh my goodness.
On essentially a perception check to understand, or insight to understand.
Can I roll an opposed tomfoolery?
No. you hear these
Oh gosh.
And he slams this door open. And he starts, the desk starts to lift up from above you. And as he's raising it with his trunk, he raises it above his head and he starts berating you. How come you couldn't save them?
What?
Wim-Wam is falling because of you.
What? What are you? What
because
are you,
of you.
What are you? I'm sorry. I'll go back to detention. I'm sorry.
You hear like the whole school starts to shake, and this bright light from what looks like a comet begins to descend upon the school, and the light flashes. and you awake. It's morning. You awake, and the dog is gone. But he's replaced with something far more familiar. A massive, long-haired, white and orange cat licks you awake. A small halfling. Hey, buddy.
Flannel. Stumps. It's so good to see you guys again.
Hey, man. And he kind of hoists you up. Before you stands Flannel the halfling. He's framed by his home, his mobile home known as the coop, the country house made mobile by two large chicken legs. He's wearing his staple flannel shirt and jeans, carrying his shepherd's staff while his curly, messy hair helmets his head.
Hey, I have so much to tell you. I have so much to tell you.
Yeah, dude, we gotta catch up. I'm so glad you're here, man.
Oh my goodness, Lil Scoot, this is the guy I keep telling you about. This is Flannel.
Oh, hey, buddy. Lil Scoot, nice to meet you. And he kind of like leans over. Lil Scoot is honestly like just half of. Like, you're all, this is like, you're all short, so I guess it's very easy for them to shake hands. Flannel shakes hands with Lil Scoot.
And that is Stumps.
And Lil Scoot kind of looks up at Stumps, and his eyes, like, widen. And Stumps is by far the biggest creature of all of you. You could easily all, like, mount Stumps and all ride her, like, for... like a horse.
Would she hate that, or is she cool with that?
She probably wouldn't like it.
Okay.
And you, I think you know this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally.
Flannel is kind of the only one that's able to do that, and even so, he rarely does.
Right.
He says, oh, come on. I've got food. Of course, I got shelter in the coop, and we can catch up. Let's, want to hop on in?
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, you really saved us. We've been looking everywhere for you.
Yeah, sorry, man. I was just out, just way on the other side of the plains, and I sent that Weimarrider to come get you. I hope he wasn't too much trouble.
No, it was great. Yeah, it was fine. Flannel,
yeah?
I don't know how to read, so...
Flannel kind of stares at you silently.
It's good you found me, but like, yeah. Notes,
oh,
or
so that,
like,
nope.
Like words, like letters.
That
like,
didn't make any
not
sense.
Not my strong suit.
That didn't do anything, huh?
But I'm just glad you were able to find me. Otherwise, yeah. We probably would have turned into dog food.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been terrible. Come on in. And he kind of, the coop kind of squats down low. For you guys to step onto the porch of it and enter. You guys enter, and it's lit by candles that are slowly flickering. But amidst even, and to like counteract the feel of candles, there's tech like everywhere. Flannel's got all this biz, screens, computers, machines you have no understanding of. And he kind of just gestures for you to sit down at the table and says to you, hey, so, dude, Scooter, so good to see you, man. I've missed you. I'm really glad. It's great to see you. How are you?
I'll be honest, Flannel. I've been better.
Yeah.
Leon, Laszlo, and I, we went our separate ways. Not like bad, but I think we all have different missions right now. And actually I was looking for you. I was hoping to find you.
Yeah.
I guess like there's been so much. I don't know where to start. It's been so long since I've seen you, but it's been longer for you than it has for me, because there was this train and it traveled through time.
Oh, wow.
And then we met this skeleton who had this chain, and there was a beetle.
I think I got a message from that guy.
What? Really?
That's how I knew you were coming, bud. That's the whole... That was the note. I knew you were coming, and I was looking for you myself.
What? You... So, you know G-Money?
Yeah, we talked for a second.
That's... How did you... That's incredible.
Yeah, I got a message from Tech Quarters, which was super weird. I guess it's not Tech Quarters anymore.
Oh, we took it over. We totally blew that popsicle stand.
Yeah.
It's ours now. I'm on the board of directors.
No, wow. Congratulations. How's that responsibility level for you?
I mean, I was a little disappointed when they wouldn't give me an expense account.
Lil Scoot kind of nods in agreement. And Flannel's like, oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's a bummer. You could have gotten so much stuff done with all that cash.
I probably wouldn't have been very responsible with it anyway. At least that's what Laszlo kept telling me.
Well, yeah, he's a wise guy.
We went, you know, we went to, you know, like, I don't know. There's just so much to share. There was this guy who apparently was a foot, but he was a person.
Wow.
And then he got what was it? What was the word? He got dematted. Or something like that, and then we learned about the matter hold.
Oh yeah,
I still don't know very much about that and how that works.
It's how we are bound in this reality. Yeah,
what?
It's very little known topic that people don't know much about. But I've tried to research matter hold and haven't really gotten anything done.
I sort of with minor illusion once again sort of give Lil Scoot and I costumes. And we both get like reading glasses, mm-hmm. and we all of a sudden like cross our legs, take out notebooks and pencils, and we're kind of just writing as Flannel's talking about the matter hold.
What are you
stuff.
Writing?
Literally, no, I'm just looking like I'm writing, but I'm not writing anything.
Dude, this is gonna be. Tanner's gonna be so mad.
What's so dumb is I'm
back.
Sure I've written and read things before in Spyros, but it doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter now.
It doesn't
you
matter
canonically
now.
Cannot
I,
read.
I cannot.
It's
so,
been
yeah.
retconned.
What's funny is Lil Scoot probably is writing stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't read it.
No.
So it doesn't matter.
But it's like, they look like decent notes to Flannel, at least.
Yeah.
But Flannel kind of stops you guys. He's like, wait, guys. There's only so much I can know, but, I mean, I'm always looking for more help around here to research it. I have to use volunteer dogs, usually. They usually help me out a lot, but, doesn't always end up great, and I never test any dog that doesn't want to be tested, but, some of them are helpful enough to do that. And unfortunately, from what I've learned, it only has to do with living creatures. So unfortunately, no one can really donate their body to research of a matter hold.
I glance over at Lil Scoot.
And Lil Scoot kind of side-eyes you for the third time. And is like, but, I mean, I would love to tell you more about that. But I know you're here on an urgent matter, no?
Right. So, the library at Hub, we all went there to try and, you know, garner as much information as we could on the whole situation there. And we found out, actually, that there were some issues at the library. There was a lot of information missing. It looked as though it had been tampered with, like someone was deliberately removing information from the library.
Mm.
And we think that might mean something.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to find you and you know, see if you could help in any way. There was a lot of information missing about the canine planes.
Oh, wow.
Specifically. And I figured you more than anyone would know about that. And maybe if I can figure out what's missing, I can try and figure out how it's all connected.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, man, that's kind of what I'm doing here. I know everything there is to know about the planes, and I've got so much data, it'll literally take months for transferal. But in the meantime, we'll be able to do so much together. I mean, this is great. I mean, Stumps is great company, and so are all the dogs. But this is great. I feel like I haven't been able to talk to anybody in a really long time.
Little Scoot and I are ready, Sensei, and we bow.
Oh, don't! Oh, guys, don't! I'm flattered. Really, I am. But you don't need to do that. Here, let me show you what we can do here. Do you have anything that I can transfer all this data to?
I still have that USB drive, don't I? That Haven Tech USB drive that I recovered a million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't ever even get to open that thing and look at it. I don't.
Yeah, you did.
That's right. The video.
Yes. Yeah, it was a video was on of it. The smacking fields.
Okay. Well, I hand him the USB drive.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much a room is left on this, but maybe if there's enough room, you could transfer the data onto this so I have it.
He kind of like flicks his shepherd staff into your hand and like flicks the USB up in the air and catches it with his other hand. Oh, one of these? Yeah, these things, as small as they are, they hold a lot. And boy howdy, I got a lot. He takes the USB drive and plugs it into this computer of his. And there's a bunch of screens, and he kind of starts like tapping away at his keyboard. And he's like, all right, well, yeah, no, this will take a long time. Okay. Clack, 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 clack. And he clicks OK. And you see a progress bar, and it literally says like 3 months till completion. And he's like, well, yeah, this might take some time, huh? Yeah. Well, that's okay, though. It's literally everything I've ever logged about the canine plane. So,
wow.
Surely that'll be boosh, and you get shooken about, and the coop kind of like takes like a weird double step as it takes like this big hit, and the data stops transferring. Oh my god, this guy again. Okay. I need to steer the coop. If you want to go out the back and check who... It's the poacher. The poacher. He's been bothering me for pretty much ever since you left for the last... it's been a while now. Like 8 months since I saw you or however many. I don't know. Either way, it's been a long time and he's been just chasing my tail. I need to steer so we can try and get away from him, all right? Can you go look out the window... See if you can fend him off. Maybe we gotta get out of here. I can't transfer all this data either if we keep getting messed up. Take like another hit to the goop.
I kind of regain my footing,
mm-hmm.
and I look over at Lil Scoot. Lil Scoot, gear up.
Kind of nods and furrows his brow with a nice grin and like kind of I don't know. Do you pick him up or does he trail behind you?
I like to imagine him kind of jumping on my shoulder.
Okay, yeah, Lil Scoot is pretty small, so he jumps up on your shoulder and kind of hangs on, kind of like a monkey almost, like from the back. He's not standing on your shoulder. Okay.
How tall is he again? How tall is Lil Scoot?
I think he's like a couple feet.
Oh, he's bigger. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. He's not huge by any means, but he's like a baby.
Oh,
like
word.
A
okay.
Toddler, a small toddler.
Gotcha. I'm 3 feet tall, so is he like... Like,
oh, okay. Let's say I think he's like half your height.
Half my height. Okay. Cool. Because I'm sort of like kind of a specific reference, maybe too obscure for the listeners. I'm almost picturing like Jack and Daxter.
Oh, yeah.
Like Lil Scoot can kind of like hang out on my shoulder or whatever.
Well, then let's say he's like half a foot tall.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
We're
retconning stuff in here.
Let's go.
It doesn't matter.
It.
Hiatus. We're retconning everything.
I can't even read.
Yeah, you can't read.
But yeah, no, you know, gear up and, with a newfound confidence,
mm-hmm.
we race towards the battle.
You make your way to the back of the coop and you kind of get outside where there's like a bug screened porch and you can see this figure behind you on a motorcycle. Looking behind the coop, you see this guy. The man is of dark lavender complexion and in dark robes. His eyes are covered by a matching dark cloth, and most perplexingly, a goose's head and neck
are wrapped under his chin in a fashioned scarf, and the goose's head bobs and weaves as he's riding this bike, and its eyes are glowing a mystical green. Roll initiative.
All right. We're having a good day. We're having a real good day today, guys. Six. This is bad. This is bad. I'm not superstitious. I'm gonna switch dice. Cause so far this has been dreadful.
Alright, so basically what we got going on here. We're going to bring in some mechanics that Tanner uses for the playtest, which is the single player campaign for our Patreon subscribers. It's a thing called stamina points. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing that we're using, and it's based on your dex modifier. You will get, so your dex modifier is +2, which means you will get 5 stamina points because it's your dex modifier plus your proficiency bonus.
Okay.
So you get 5 stamina points. This is how you can use those stamina points. So you can take an evade reaction for 3 stamina points. If you want to choose to do this, you completely evade an attack that's going to hit you.
Okay.
So you can
do I have to like roll for it, or is
no,
it just like
you spend okay. points as a reaction.
Cool.
If someone's about to hit you, you can spend 3 stamina points and they miss completely.
Okay.
You could use your stamina points as a bonus action, use 2 stamina points and buff your movement. Get 50% more movement, so just half more. So if your movement's 30, your movement would become 45.
Okay.
For 2 stamina points.
So 3 is evade, 2 is boost movement.
Mm-hmm. And that's a bonus action. And the evade is a reaction.
Right.
Finally, you must have all of your stamina points to do this. So you have to use all 5, and you have to have all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it for an auto crit.
Okay.
But this comes with a balancing scale, so if you use all of those points, they replenish every turn at the beginning of your turn.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So
cool.
So if you were to attack and you wanted to get a... also, you have to choose to use the crit before rolling to hit.
Okay.
So you're going to be like, if you miss, you miss. And you used all your stamina points. Right. So, let me paint the scene here. The coupe is kind of like boosh, doosh, doosh, like kind of in maximum overdrive, just really running while Flannel kind of steers. And this dude is on his motorbike, and he's trying to, and Flannel's trying to maneuver away from him. He is about 100 feet away from the coupe and is capable of moving closer each turn if undeterred. The encounter will end when you are able to get him to be 200 feet away.
Okay.
So basically each turn he's going to try and get closer to the coupe. Mm-hmm. And every one of your turns, you're going to try and get him further away.
Gotcha. Okay.
And essentially at this current time, you would need to get him 100 more feet away, but he can get closer. So it's going to be kind of a tug of war deal.
Okay.
Of him trying to get closer and you trying to push him away.
Gotcha.
That makes sense to you as well?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, yeah, he's racing behind you, and that gooseneck just keeps bobbing and weaving and looking around. And it is his turn first.
Okay.
In the initiative. So, first thing he's going to do is move. He's going to kind of rev his engine and get 25 feet closer. So he is now 75 feet away from the coop. You see the goose spinning around, and the gooseneck just kind of, it's like an infinite neck scarf around him, and he keeps twirling and twirling, and then he lets out this honk, and this bright light kind of goes out from his beak, or bill, I guess, and attempts to cover you. Will you make a dexterity saving throw?
Yes. That's a nat 20.
Oh my gosh, yes, you save. Nothing happens. All this light kind of sheds past you and bounces around in the coop and then just dissipates.
Yeah, that's all the poacher can do, so it's your turn, Scooter.
Alrighty.
How do you retaliate?
Okay, little Scoot, formation B. He jumps up and we sort of like grab hands, like I sort of grab him by the hand.
Yeah.
And I toss him way up into the air and he does this like barrel roll spin. And then in like slow motion, he like whips out like you would like a bunch of throwing stars.
Yeah.
And it's tiny little teeth.
Oh, my
this God. Is magic missile.
Amazing.
Just very slow motion, just like whips out a ton of like teeth throwing stars at this guy, and I cast a third level magic missile.
Oh my God.
And auto crit.
Oh wow, okay. So how many d4 is that?
8d4
because it's four darts.
It's four darts, but we're doubling the dice so for the crit.
Yes.
Yes.
8d4 plus four.
Cool.
Whoa. Three of those are max damage.
25 plus 4, 29 damage.
Wow.
Lil Scoot spins around, throws these tooth-shaped ninja stars, or ninja star-shaped teeth, and they all hit this goose man for 25 damage.
Oh, wow. 29 damage.
29 damage.
All these teeth barrage the poacher, and the gooseneck is honking as the driver just kind of, like, grunting. And he falls a little behind. He'll fall back a good 50 feet.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Incredible. With moving 50 feet back, he is now 125 feet.
Excellent.
Away. So you only need 75 at the current moment. With that, it is now the poacher's turn. And Flannel kind of yells back,
"Are you doing good there, bud?
We got this under control. Oh. Leave it to us."
Wow. Okay. And he spins his staff around and shoves it in the hole to steer the coop and kind of... And the coop kind of creaks as the legs make a sharp turn to the right. And the poacher trails behind. And he will rev his engine again to get 25 feet closer. He is now back where he started, 100 feet. And the goose will kind of like peck at the poacher and be like, and the poacher grunts and lifts or he reaches for a gun at his holster and he points it out and starts to shoot it at you. Here we go. Does a 19 hit you?
A 19 does hit me.
All right, you take 8 piercing damage.
Okay.
And 8 poison damage.
Oh.
As this gun...
I have resistance to poison.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do, from my tattoo.
Then you take 4 poison damage.
Cool. So that's 12 in total?
Total of 12.
Cool.
This gun bullet kind of whizzes by you and kind of creases at your shoulder, and it stings a bit, but it's... but you're resistant to poison. The tattoo on you kind of glows... And the pain subsides a bit.
Excellent.
Great. That's his turn, so it's you.
Okie dokie.
You are now full on stamina points.
And how far away is he?
He is 100 feet away.
Okay, 100 feet. Let's see what my... I actually think that Lil Scoot and I are going to plant our feet and stand side by side.
Okay.
And like Goku and Gohan, we're going to start doing like the Kamehameha formation, just like together, like father, son, Kamehameha.
Wow. Father and son.
You're going to see like he doesn't have hair. So you'll just see my hair start to like spark and fizzle up. And he's just like sparkly tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And lightning starts to crackle in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And from both pairs of hands, we shoot out lightning from our hands as a bolt falls from the sky at the same time as I cast a third level lightning bolt.
Wow.
That's a dex saving throw.
Cool. Roll wild magic.
Oh, no. I forgot about wild magic. Wait. Okay. Give me a second to dig for my note. Do you know what count I'm at?
You're at three. Roll for wild magic, and then I'll do that dex save.
That's a three.
That fails. That fails.
That's the DC. That fails.
That fails.
Yeah. So I have to roll a D100, don't I? Right?
Yes. Let me open the document. We're using Milando's Guide to Wild Magic.
I can't.
Literally the first one? Are you serious? This isn't real, dude.
This was such a bad idea.
I like remembered it as we were doing this, and I should have been doing it actually for a couple other spells, but I remembered it now, and of course you fail. All right, yeah, roll that D100.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to have this happen before.
I would like to dedicate this roll to Tanner.
You're like, oh my god.
I'm going to have to re-roll one of those. Okay, if it lands on two zeros, that's zero, right?
That's 10. Wait.
There's a 10, but there's also double zeros.
Oh, that...
What does that mean?
It means that... wait, so what'd you roll on the other one?
A 9.
A 9?
So double zero and 9. That's just zero. Isn't double zero just zero?
So you got...
I rolled a 9, right?
Double zero is just zero. You're right.
Yeah, if I roll 90 and then a 10, then... Yeah, so I rolled a 9.
Wow, okay. This is interesting. So... As you're casting this Kamehameha lightning bolt, you feel like the air kind of warble around you, and you become invisible. But at the same time, this illusion of you appears right where you were standing and kind of coats you. You have cast Mislead. Here's what Mislead is. It's a concentration spell up to an hour. You become invisible at the same time that an illusory double of you appears where you are standing. The double lasts for the duration, but the invisibility ends if you attack or cast a spell. I'll say it lasts through this lightning bolt.
Okay, cool.
You can use your action to move your illusory double up to twice your speed and make it gesture, speak, and behave in whatever way you choose. You can see through its eyes and hear through its ears as if you were located where it is. On each of your turns, as a bonus action, you can switch from using its senses to your own or back again. While you're using its senses, you're blinded and deafened in regard to your own surroundings.
Whoa.
So essentially you're like mind...
Am I defaulted with his senses?
No, I'll say you're defaulted with yours.
Good, okay,
and then
cool.
You can use a bonus action to shift. You're essentially like placing your senses
right into
that double, and you can go back and forth with bonus actions.
Gotcha.
But when you go to the illusory double, you lose your senses.
And then for an action, I can move him, and
he has
I'm
twice,
invisible.
And you're invisible.
Yes.
You is invisible, and this... Illusory double of you has twice your speed.
Okay.
Cool. I'm going to roll a dex save for the poacher. Incredible. That is a 18.
Dang it. Yeah, that passes.
Half damage, though?
Let me take a look. I cast Lightning Bolt. A creature takes damage, half as much damage on a...
Mm-hmm.
Success one.
Yep.
Yes.
So still roll that die.
Okay. 8d6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that many, so it might take me a second.
That's right. You can roll 4 and then 4 or something.
Yeah. 8d6 and then halved.
4 is 42.
Which we would have to 21.
Okay. Yeah.
You rolled really well.
Yeah. No, I rolled like maxes on pretty much every die. Yes. Just making sure that I did 6, 6, 4, 4, which is 12 plus 8. So that is 20.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I did that math right.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, that's 21, we said.
Yep.
Yeah,
42. 20,
yeah.
If you 20, got 42, we'll have it yes. to 21.
21 lightning damage.
Yeah, like... You see the goose goes... And like, as everything's like shaking... and they lose... a good amount of gain on you, and they're now 50 feet. They're 150 feet away.
Okay, here is... let me make sure. So using the stamina points.
Yes.
Okay, the boost movement is a bonus action.
So you would not be able to control your illusory double and use the right. bonus action.
I can do one or the other.
You can do one or the other.
Okay, here's what I'm going to... Yeah, because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to...
I can't believe this is happening.
Where are my bonus actions? Convert sorcery points. I also have... What is it called? Yes, quickened spell. So I'm going to spend two sorcery points to turn that lightning bolt into a bonus action, and then I'm going to use an action to move my sensory double. That's how that works, right? Sensory double requires an action to move?
No. Oh, yeah. Actually, yes. You use your action to move your illusory double up to twice your speed and make it gesture, speak, and behave in a way you choose.
That's right. Okay, because this is the plan I was coming up with. So that lightning bolt... What is now my bonus action. And then for my action, I'm going to move this double.
Yes.
After this goose gets hit with this lightning bolt, he is going to see me, essentially,
yeah.
sprint straight at him. Like, running, like, so, sprinting so, well, aggressively, like, essentially, like straight towards him.
That means you dive... This illusory double of yourself dives off the coop and like kind of does a roll, like a tuck and roll.
Yeah.
And then just
Terminator runs. Yeah.
Or like the cop from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yes, exactly. I whisper to Lil Scoot, since I'm invisible, I just kind of whisper to him, silly goose.
And Lil Scoot also sees this illusory double and doesn't know.
Lil Scoot doesn't have one, does he?
No.
Ah, dang it.
And he looks up at you, or he doesn't. He looks around.
I'm invisible.
Yeah, he looks around and is like, and he kind of gets it, and then he smirks and crosses his arms and starts nodding. Okay. You have 25 feet of movement, so this
50.
Yeah, so this double is able to move 50 feet. The double is about 100 feet from the poacher, and the coop is just going.
Excellent.
Amazing. All right, sweet. That's your turn. We're back to the poacher. The poacher sees the illusory double of you and doesn't pay any mind to the coop and sees you and starts going for you. And he's gonna try and just run you over. And he revs the engine and kind of like Akira bike slides, like turns to the side and like skids through the side and just like goes right through the illusion. He skid through and he went right through your illusion and he fully stopped moving because he was trying to kill you by running you over. You've kind of run this encounter and we're out of initiative. And the poacher notices that it's an illusion and the goose the poacher doesn't turn his head, but the goose turns its head and kind of just is honking. And it kind of trails off as the coop is getting out of the way.
I break my concentration on the spell and reappear, and Lil Scoot and I just kind of start like flipping him off, like, Owate goose I am.
The poacher finally like turns his head back and doesn't seem to make any like gesture towards you as the goose continues to honk uncontrollably, and you've gotten out of your way from the poacher. Flannel kind of reaches back and puts the coop into a more steady pace as you guys have made good ground enough to be out of the poacher's way. And he baps at the computer again to get the download starting again. That was great, Scooter. You're kind of a badass.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I kind of look down. I learned from the best. And I look up. And I think about my friends.
You think about your friends. Flannel kind of gives you like a good clap on the back.
It really hurts.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's got rough, calloused hands. And it starts to get
closer to nighttime. You guys kind of trail in conversation and are catching up. Stumps, you kind of like rest your head on Stumps as you guys are conversing and just catching up. And you know, you're with an old friend, one of the first people you made friends with on Spyros as a whole. Literally everyone else was such a dick. And he offers you a little cot to sleep in as the coop kind of continues trailing about. It kind of never stops moving. And you drift off to sleep. Is there anything you think about before you're, in addition to your friends, before you fall asleep?
Yeah, I guess sort of just like, not like a separate thing, but tagging on, thinking mm-hmm. about Laszlo and Leon. I'm just really proud of myself. Yeah. I do feel like a badass. I think
you did
like,
it on
I'm,
your own.
I'm like really thinking back to how that first night with Flannel, mm-hmm. after we left Camp Wimwam, Scooter was catatonic. He was like crying, literally like weeping, mm-hmm. because he was so scared and confused. And I distinctly remember thinking about Flannel and looking at Flannel and seeing it as this vision of myself if I'm never able to get off of Spyros. It was this terrifying, overwhelming thing. And here I am again with Flannel back at the coop. And I handled that fight all on my own.
Yeah.
Took care of business, was confident, wasn't scared. And I'm just feeling really good about myself after spending a lot of time not feeling that way and feeling very, very thankful for Laszlo and Leon. And also a little bit thinking about how I wish I maybe had said that more.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to bed with a big smile on my face.
You smile and close your eyes and drift off into slumber. And it's kind of dreary again. And you open your eyes and you find yourself on an unfamiliar covered porch, outlooking the grays of a barren moon, bright in the light of a singular star. An OSM machine thwapping above you. Thwap, 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 thwap.
Well?
You turn to find yourself in the middle of a conversation with an older gnomish woman, full gray.
How did you do it?
I look down at my hands and what I'm wearing, and I try to figure out. I'm kind of looking around, like, where am I? Looking down at myself, trying to, like, trying to figure out, like, how old I am, or what, like, as a player, I'm thinking, like, how old am I? What stage of my life I'm in? As Scooter, I'm just, like, dropped into a dream, looking around, trying to, like, figure out what's going on.
You kind of turn to a window that's on the inside of this porch to kind of get a glimpse of your mm-hmm. reflection. And from what it seems like, you're in your late 30s. Would you please describe yourself?
Wow. I have a little bit of a beard going.
Yeah,
actually,
totally.
A little bit of a beard. I like to imagine it as like a shorter beard around the cheeks and the chin, but then like a longer mustache.
Yeah,
with like the ends that kind of go out a little bit, like not full blown like mustache curls, but like
not like handlebar, but like
no, it kind of like curls up a little, yeah. like prospector. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Totally.
It's this cool green prospector beard.
Yeah.
My hair is kind of raggedy, but like a medium length. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, imagine if like a middle-aged Jeff Bridges were a gnome with green hair.
I think I understand, actually. So, yeah, totally. I see it.
Yeah. I'm just wearing some, like, khaki shorts. Some, you know, dirty, beat up old tennis shoes. And I'm wearing a t-shirt where like the body of the t-shirt is intact, but the sleeves are ripped off.
As like a muscle shirt?
Not deliberately one. Yeah, where like okay. It was a t-shirt and then got ripped up.
Yes, okay.
Exposing like more tats that Scooter had gotten over periods of time.
Totally.
All of them like super magic and awesome.
Of course they are.
And the t-shirt says, "Hell yeah, I survived."
There's some lore somewhere where you went back to Nabrasina and got they had like a new merch line in Murderers and you got another t-shirt. But yeah, this old gnomish woman kind of sees you stumble a bit in kind of looking around and at yourself.
It's okay. How did you do it? How did you save your friends in Wimwam?
Is this person familiar to me?
Yeah. You don't need to roll for this. That wouldn't make any sense. From what it looks like, it is an older version of your mom.
Okay. I'm trying to think how I'd react.
Yeah.
Cause on one hand it's like, oh my gosh, like I haven't seen my mom in, you know, however long, but at the same time, like I'm in a dream, and when you're in a dream, you're in it. Like you're part of it. Like it's not weird to you.
Yeah, it's in a dream in the sense where you're just dropped in.
Yeah.
There's no
exactly.
beginning necessarily, you're just kinda here.
Right.
You were literally in the middle of
a conversation. So she asked me how I wound up saving my friends. Yeah.
Well.
And I sort of, like, give a little bit of, like, a half smile and, you know, nod my head to Little Scoot a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he's there with me, because he's with me everywhere I go.
Of course. He's made it this far.
And, you know, he gives me the same look back. And when I kind of smirk, like, I reveal I'm, like, missing several more teeth, which begs the question, how many more Little Scoots are there?
Wow, that does beg a question.
But I sort of chuckle. Well, you know, Mom, I like to think they saved me.
That's so sweet. You're such a good lad. You turned out to be so good. And, you know, that's how I thought of your dad. And
you miss him, don't you?
I really do.
I miss him, too.
I know this thing above us keeps us alive. And she's gesturing to the oxygen stimulator machine that just kind of makes a weird...
I mean, without these things and how he made them more efficient and developed them, I wouldn't even be here, and I couldn't look at this wonderful view.
And Spyros looks as beautiful as ever, kind of eclipsed by the singular star and the other celestial bodies and the moons kind of drifting around the planet.
He was a smart guy. But you know, Mom, you tamed him. He would have been nothing without you.
Oh, you don't mean that.
I'm sorry I was such a little rascal as a kid.
Oh, but it was so fun. I wish I could have held on to that time longer. It seems so far away now. And
Mom?
Yeah?
Why did you send me away?
Scooter, you know that this is something that everyone has to do, and you did it as well. And look at you, you're the one of the greatest people I know. You're one of the greatest people Spyros knows. It's the truth.
When she says you're one of the greatest people I know, I look around at this like very obviously empty moon where like no one else is around. I'm kind of thinking like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Your mom's old. She's looking around like her eyes like kind of barely open as she grins.
Yeah.
After confiding in you.
Scooter, I feel so, so comfortable when you're home. And it's almost like when we were all here.
And she kind of, like, drifts her head to the side.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I miss you. I miss you a lot.
I miss you too.
I pull out an old rusty harmonica from my pocket.
Yeah.
And I start playing my dad's favorite tune on it. I'm just sitting there with my mom, just blowing the old harp.
You effortlessly play this tune that your dad loves, and your mom kind of rocks in this chair and closes her eyes and just listens to you as you play, and the thwapping of the OSM gets louder and louder and louder, and you wake.
With that, we will conclude part one of Scooter's hiatus story. Thank you so much for listening, and get ready to finish Scooter's story next week as we conclude with one more episode. As always, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and share us with your friends. Join us on the Discord and subscribe on Patreon to support us and get more of that great content. Thank you again, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Also, I'm terrified.
Hey, Tanner, you should be.
I can't believe that you are rolling on a wild magic table by your fucking self. So that's great. That's good to know.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of things are happening already.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great. Good.
Okay, yeah, we got it. There's nothing to worry about. You're going to be fine, and he's going to be fine. Bye.
Hang on, I need you to say that again for David to hear.
Oh, nothing bad is going to happen to you, and nothing bad is happening to Scooter at all. Definitely not. He's fine. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Okay, bye.
This sucks, and I hate you and love you both.
Okay, bye.